Welcome to Writing Relations Radio, an experimental podcast sharing inspiration and knowledge for adult educators and transformative leaders working for justice, liberation, and healing across Turtle Island. Today we are in conversation with Alfredo Barahona from Kairos, exploring relationship building between immigrant, refugee, and indigenous communities and the importance of knowing who you are.
On the issue of self-identity, I think it's important for those of us who are working on building solidarity and relationship of friendship with indigenous peoples to kind of understand where we are and situate ourselves in the context, right? Without that understanding, you know, the work can become a little bit difficult. I wanted to talk, a little bit about how I see myself as both as a refugee, immigrant person, but also a background that I didn't explore before until now that I'm doing this type of work. And that background has to do with my own heritage, my own background. Who am I? And the importance of me as an individual, not from a selfish point of view, to benefit from something, because I don't even know what benefits there are, other than being at peace with myself, with my history, with my ancestors. So exploring that, who am I? Understanding, things that before I just took for granted and I didn't think, about why did I and my family had to come to Canada and settle in Canada as refugees and immigrants. Why did we have to leave our land? How does that connect to a past of colonial rule in El Salvador, which, by the way, it wasn't El Salvador, it was Cuscatlan. That's the indigenous name of the land. So even these days, when my people ask me, where are you from? I don't say I'm from El Salvador anymore. I was born in a place that now is called El Salvador, but it was called Cuscatlan before. And when people ask me about my own heritage, I'm saying, you know what? I'm learning. I'm still learning a lot. I may be an old person now, but I didn't have the chance to do it before. I'm gonna do it now. And so it is important for me to define who am I and to learn who is this man now? Where does this man come from? What happened to my ancestors? I met my father, my mother, and I met one grandfather. But then the other grandparents were all dead. Actually, I met my great-grandmother, right? But, I was like three and a half maybe when she died. But I still remember her. But I don't know much about them. I do know now that my great-grandmother was an indigenous woman. And I did ask my mother and my aunts, can you tell me about Mama Santos? That's what we call her, right? And they said, well, yeah, she was an indigenous woman. And what else? What else can you tell me? Nothing more than that. Because I don't think they also understood, or thought about what being indigenous meant and why this clearly an indigenous woman would not tell you or would not teach you about the language, the culture, the traditions, what happened there. But I do know that there's some other historical, important landmarks, if you want. A massacre in 1932. So we're not talking not even 100 years ago, 1932, 30,000 indigenous people killed in one location. Now, what relationship does that have to the fact that my great-grandmother then didn't speak about her identity? And there's a lot. So see what I mean by I need to learn a lot. But just by virtue of, being conscious now and aware that my great-grandmother was an indigenous woman, that simple fact leads me to no longer deny that and ignore that. I will admit and I will recognize, look, I don't know much about her, and I don't know much of what happened to her you know, parents, grandparents, and so on, going back. But just because I don't know, that doesn't mean that I will push it aside and ignore it and not talk about it, and then deny part of my ancestry because I don't know. I'd rather acknowledge that I don't know, that I don't have it, because, you know, it wasn't passed on, but I will claim it. And if I can make that connection to my ancestry, then I will make it. Because now I'm reacting to when people tell me, you know, you're not indigenous. I'm thinking, but what does it mean to be indigenous? And why are you telling me? And who are you to tell me that I'm not indigenous? It obviously means a lot of things, right? And it's not just the way you look. It's the way it's how you live, it's how you relate to others, how you relate to the land. That's what I'm learning now, which I wish I would have learned it before, but I didn't. Well, I'm not gonna, you know, spend my time crying about that. This is what I have now, and this is what I can use in order to continue forward, even with my own children, right? If I didn't speak to them in the past about my great-grandmother, for example, well, now I can do it, and I have pictures that I can show them. So they can also claim, you know, part of their identity, part of their ancestry. And again, you know, not allow others to sort of tell them who they are and who they're not. That is a colonial mentality, in my opinion. And that's exactly what they wanted to do. The fact that my great-grandmother didn't talk to my grandmother and then to my mother about her identity and her indigenous background is because that's what the colonial state wanted. They wanted to erase every trace. So I show you the picture of my great-grandmother. She didn't lose everything. Clearly she didn't lose everything. Maybe she lost a lot. Maybe she didn't speak the language. Maybe that's why she didn't pass it on. But when you look at her dressing, she wasn't dressed in a I don't know, Western traditional clothing. That to me, and it's, you can still see it these days, right? So it's not all lost. And you go to Guatemala, El Salvador, Mexico, Southern Mexico, people still, you know, dressing that way. So clearly to me, she didn't lose everything. But then my mother never wore that clothing. Why didn't she? And part of it is probably that they were already so colonized in their mind that they didn't want to identify with that Indian look. Right? So they were dressing with, you know, the clothes that the colonizers brought.
So how does this inform your work now in building friendship and solidarity between Indigenous and newcomer people in Turtle Island?
The way it informs it is that sometimes I think that it is very difficult to understand or comprehend what has happened to others, because you have not experienced it yourself one way or another. Whether you experience it again, you know, in my own case, you know, I mentioned to you earlier the massacre of 1932 of indigenous people. I wasn't there, but clearly that had impact on my generation, because my grandmother, my great-grandmother didn't pass on, you know, their heritage and culture and so on. Why? Because of the oppression, because of the repression. The intention was to shape them into something that they were not. So that understanding will help me to understand what other peoples in other parts of the earth, like in this case in North America, what they've gone through as well. Making the connection to my own migration story, you know, coming from El Salvador to Canada and to settle in Canada because of conflict, and a conflict that is pretty much related to colonialism, because that's what it is. The civil war in El Salvador from 1980 to 1992, is not just a war because people wanted to fight one another. It's a war that is related to military dictatorships that were, you know, defending and protecting a colonial state. That's the origin of my migration to Canada. So for me, it's also, you know, the colonial process also forced my family and myself to come here. I do understand what it feels like not to be able to visit your school, for example, the school that you went to kindergarten. Many people, you know, can talk about go into, you know, to very important places of when they were growing up. Well, I can't do that. You know, not when I could do it, but if I want to do it right now, I can do it because I'm so far away from it. And that is an impact. You know, see, that is something that it is difficult. And so when I hear indigenous people talking about indigenous people here in Canada, I mean, right? When I hear them talk about the loss of their land, the and how that impact on their way of life, and how they have to be removed from their communities, for example, to go to school. So they have to leave their community, they have to leave their families, they have to leave their friends, they have to leave everything that made them comfortable, everything that made them happy. They have to leave that. But that's similar to, you know, a refugee who has to leave everything. And that's what happened to me. I was 17 years old when I left. And I couldn't say goodbye to everybody or to anybody, right? So you just leave everything in there. And so that sense of loss, you know, I think it relates. And I want to make the connections to the colonial mentality, because that's what it is. What we're experiencing in Central America and the rest of Latin American countries is a result of the same wave of explorers, you know, quote unquote, that came to this land. And they're the ones that set in motion all these processes that we are experiencing now. So to me, colonialism is not a thing of the past. I don't talk about the colonial, you know, states or colonial societies as something that is in history or in the past. I think it's pretty much, we're living it. We're in the midst of it. Regardless of, you know, what other people want to convince me of, right? I said, no. I see that we're still being ruled by colonial powers, right? Especially here in Canada. So that's how my own history and learning as much as I can about my own ancestry, my own history, helps me to, you know, walk, I guess, in solidarity with others. Mm. Understanding that if I'm here, it's not because I came to take possession of your land. I'm here because the colonial powers in the region where I was born force me and 1,000 others to leave. And I'm here, and now that I'm here by force, I want to make sure that I do it in the best possible respectful way. And so that's why I think I need to learn about the people here, indigenous people, their history, their struggle, and then stand in solidarity with them. Because it's the same thing. I found myself here, but it could have been the other way around. Could have been that I stayed there and some of the indigenous people were forced to go down there. It could have been easily.
And what have you learned about, you know, in hosting these circles of friendship between newcomers and indigenous people across the country? What are some learnings that you've taken about building friendship and solidarity?
Well, I'm learning a lot, to be honest, and it takes time. That's the one thing that people have been telling me, right? That it's not something that happened in one meeting, in one circle, in one gathering, in one powwow. It's not that. So, you know, it takes time. And sometimes building these relationships and building these friendships, it's not about being in a room, in a meeting, in a forum, in a conference, but rather being in somebody's living room, being in somebody's kitchen, learning about those things. So you're cooking together, and while you're cooking, you're actually talking about, you know, your family, your community, what you have, what you don't have, what you know, and what you need to learn, those kind of things. And it takes time. That's one thing that I'm learning. The other thing that I'm learning is also that a lot of people like myself, and I think of myself, regardless of how many years I've been here, but I still think of myself as a newcomer. A lot of people are telling me that, you know, they want to learn, and they kind of, you know, they also kind of feel kind of embarrassed because they didn't learn before. You know, you've been here, let's say, 10, 15 years, and you never came into contact or relationship with indigenous peoples, even though you see them on the street. They kind of feel, you know, a little bit guilty, I guess, and then also a little bit ashamed. But at the same time, they also say, you know, but I want to learn. I want to, you know, I want to continue this process. I am also learning that it doesn't take that long for newcomers to make the connection to, you know, their experience in their countries, because then, let's be honest, most of the newcomers that are coming these days as refugees and immigrants are coming from conflict zones in Africa, in Asia, countries like the Philippines, India, you know, and then Latin American countries, people are leaving because of conflict. So they're coming from areas where are affected by the history of colonialism, and they make those connections very quickly. That doesn't take time. To make those connections doesn't take time. They very quickly click. What takes time is then is learning, lowering the guard, if you want. There is still a lot of mistrust. There is a lot of, you know, sort of like, I don't know you yet. Why should I, you know, trust you? And I have had people, both indigenous and newcomers, you know, express that very clearly, right? You know, I don't know you yet, but I want to learn about you. I want to hear more about you, right? With those words, you know, I want to hear more about your story. Behind every refugee and immigrant, there is a story, and I want to learn that.
I'll share a little bit on that last question I just asked you. In writing relations, we have spent time in gatherings just around that question of who am I?
Oh.
And spend a full day just sharing on that question and telling our stories without any outcome expectations, but for that purpose of getting to know each other, building trust, and seeing each other in our wholeness. Because often we are reduced into these categories, as you said.
Yeah.
And we reduce ourselves into categories, and we choose one identity to run with, but it doesn't ever do us justice, because we are all multiple things. And so the more we can let ourselves be seen, the more that I think others will do the same, and that we can see that at the core of our beings, we are human, and there is something profoundly similar in every human experience, despite all the differences that we have in every way that we can be different. There are these fundamental pieces that are transferable across beings, human beings in this entire planet. And I think that the part of the work of being human at this time on the planet is in remembering that we are all connected, interconnected, that this is an illusion that we are separate, and the dualism of the world, that there is duality in this world. We know that there is a sun and a moon, a night and a day. We know this, and at the same time, there is oneness. There is unity. And multiple truths exist at once, and it's not paradoxical. It is that way, and we've spent so much time in the dualism, in the binary, which is Eurocentric thinking, and it's our programming. And so, if we're talking about decolonization, or we're talking about, you know, building a more positive world, healing our world, then I think that coming together, reconnecting is the work of our times, with ourselves, with each other, with the planet, because colonization has separated everything, divided everything, And so seeing each other beyond the form, being beyond the race, beyond the story of even identity, you know, identities are a layer of our existence which impact us, are important, affect our existence. And then on another layer, there's this human spirit. Mm-hmm. If you take away all this stuff, when your body dies, what's left? You know, and I think that's the like direct channel mm-hmm. to our ability to move things in a way that is what the world what we're being asked of at this time. And I think that is through the heart. I think that is through the language of love, which I think is that heartbeat that of Mother Earth, of creation that's in every one of us. And it is through dance, and it is through song, and it is through our tears, and it is through our laughter, and it is through the simple things too. And getting out of the head sometimes is important.
Yeah.
Because we're not just these talking heads. So I'm excited about remembering that we are these powerful creator beings of light, of energy, of frequency that have infinite potential, and rising to that beauty that we are. And remembering that we create our world. And we often get so mad at ourselves for doing such harm. You know, we give ourselves so much flack.
Yeah.
And yet, we're powerful creators. And we can create things in different ways than we have in the past. We can learn from the past. We can choose what this present and what this future can have for us. And what we need is that long-term vision, you know, not just our lifetimes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What kind of world do we want to see in 10 7 generations from now, you know? Living in powerful times of opportunity.
That's what it's about. So it's not some kind of academic, in my mind anyway, it's not so much about an academic, you know, deep thinking exploration, but it's rather just going inside you, right? To that very basic level. And so when people tell me, for example, you know, try to listen not just with your ears, but try to listen with your heart, it means a lot. Accepting and recognizing, you know, the importance of learning about yourself, learning about the past, but then also how do we move forward? You know, what you learn from the past in order to make sure that it doesn't happen again. That's also what is important, right? And then I'm also thinking in terms of, you know, what my contribution is while I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Right?
I mean, I'm here, so I'm not just going to occupy the space, you know, the time. I want to make sure that, you know, I contribute to something.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. And I think that we are at our best when we know who we are and what our purpose is in the world.
Yeah.
You know, because each one of us in the circle holds a piece of the balance, hold a piece of the world, and we all need to know what that piece is that we're holding, and mm-hmm. be truthful and authentic to that.
Mm-hmm.
Not be who we think we should be or who someone else wants us to be, but who we truly are. And that, I think, is such a journey of discovery and of unlearning the programming of what we were told we were and who we think we ought to be. And that can be a journey, and that doesn't just happen overnight, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you realize how much of our education, quote unquote, right, was geared towards telling you who you should be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I was educated, and you know, I went through university in all of these years. I don't think I was being educated so I could learn who I was.
No.
I was educated so I could learn who they wanted me to be.
Right.
What they wanted me to be. And so I'm rebelling against that.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, relearning is important. So I'm relearning, I'm re-educating myself That's what I'm talking about, right? And I think that that's what it comes down to.
Thank you for joining us on Writing Relations Radio. For more information and for our complete list of resources, visit writingrelations.org.